It's called The Black Man Is God. It's called The Black Man Is God. Next album. This is for the children. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea from myself, of course, but this is for the children. I got.
Make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history. The easiest fight of my life.
You think your cousin can whoop me?
Uh-huh.
You really do?
Uh-huh.
Anybody on your watch?
Anybody in my family?
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, a prophet.
Goal ain't have a net. Who would have dreams and karaoke to cassette? I met OB as an OG in the sexy. Nah, I was legends, rest in peace, Pop's a legend, uh-huh. Mike Corey and Sean Jordan was the essence of the young chorus where we grew from. Seemed like a second, now they less important to the new sun. I guess today weighs more than yesterday. It's morbid to suggest that they will come for them too. When it's a brother younger than you, who humble and who? Used to coach him, night coast and blew up, who knew? He caught you on a rough night, you were stumbling through. Now he telling you to get yours, get yours.
All of you reporters made it hard on them. Never write about me like him. Never make me think wrong. Just make me angry. Never make me go underdog. And never talk about who's gonna stop me. Well, ain't nobody gonna stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.
He's a poet, a prophet.
Today is August the 6th of 2017, which means if you're looking at your calendar, we are a mere 1 week away from what will be the fifth anniversary of HipHopSportsReport.com. Give it up, y'all. Give it up.
Woo!
Hard to believe, man. 5 years in the making, this website. This is the preseason podcast of the year, y'all. Jay Hicks back with the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. I just wanted to take a quick second before we get into our show this afternoon, to let you guys know how much I appreciate anybody that's been following, reading, sharing, commenting on, liking, disliking, arguing about, trashing anything that's ever been written on HipHopSportsReport.com or any podcast that's ever been recorded. I started this website 5 years ago, man, and it was hard to believe at that time that I would still be doing it now. I gotta thank my beautiful wife for kind of motivating me to start the website. It was her believing in me that, you know, she kind of led me to think that I could do something like this and keep it up. And I was actually unemployed at the time that I started the website, so I had a lot of time to work on it. And within 6 months, I found a job, and I've been employed ever since. So for those of you who don't know, I do this in addition to my day job. And so all the content that you see, all of the ideas, all of the written work, the previews, the predictions, the 2,000, 2,500 word columns, the short columns, the long ones, all the editing, all the revamp of the site in itself, the creation and maturation of the podcast, the purchasing of new equipment for the podcast, everything that goes into making this website possible, including the great help of Anthony Houston and Kenneth Hicks. Everything that's been done to the website to this point, I've kind of done with one hand tied behind my back. And so I just want you guys to know that I appreciate any of you who have taken the time to listen to us, to read us, to share our knowledge and, of course, our enlightened wisdom, right, about sports and hip hop music. I mean, it's no small thing, man. I really get blown away sometimes when I look back at the numbers of people that have taking time to read our stuff. I actually went back recently. I had to go back and look at some of our old columns, and specifically basketball columns. I went back and looked at a few of them over the course of the last few years. And I was actually surprised myself at some of the numbers of people that had read our stuff. And it's not easy to start a website from the ground up by yourself. And that's essentially what I've done. And I've had a lot of great help along the way, as I mentioned, but it's just, I don't know, man. I just want to thank you guys for joining me on this journey, and I would hope that you would continue to do so. I think that there's a lot of opportunity here for Hip Hop Sports Report to grow even broader, and I just wish we had the platform to do it. And so I am going to continue to work towards building that platform. And I, again, appreciate all of our loyal listeners. There's a lot of followers on Twitter and some on Facebook even that are very loyal listeners and loyal followers. people who I don't know personally, and you guys are the ones that are going to make this happen. It starts with you guys. I mean, I know a few people, but it's only going to go but so far with people that I know, people that are trying to do stuff to hook me up. So it's on you guys to help us out. And if we want to, if you want to see this thing grow, you know, it's on me and our crew here to try to make sure that we provide entertaining and thoughtful content for you guys. But then it's the next step is with you guys to try to make sure that we're doing something that is worth sharing and worth telling a story about. And if we're not doing that, then let us know. And if we are doing that, then please, man, continue to share and like our stuff. Continue to promote it as best you can. Continue to talk it up. Let people know, man, hey, those guys over at HHSR know what they're talking about. That preseason podcast of the year is hitting, and we're going to continue to bring you that fire, man. So thank you once again. 5 years into the game. I'm probably going to write some kind of 5-year column of some sort, but I just wanted to take time out on the podcast before we get into the show to let you guys know that we appreciate you, man. Continue to follow and support the website, hiphopsportsupport.com. Of course, the podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Also, the podcast is on SoundCloud, and we are available on Twitter at HHSReport, Facebook.com/HHSReport as well. We're on Google Plus, man. We're in a lot of places. So thank you for continuing to support us. And let's get into our guests for this evening, who we got two guests that are going to be joining us at once. So I think this is going to be a fun one. Y'all really gonna like this one. All right. Joining us now on the Your Ad Here hotline for the preseason podcast of the year are two highly entertaining people. They're actually taking the internet by storm right now. These are the two most Facebook timeline filling up ass people that I know easily. there are no individuals that fill up my timeline more than these two, because they are all over it. So we got Rob Parks Jr., longtime friend of mine and new friend of mine, Tay Jordan. What's happening, y'all?
What's up?
We're good, man. Cooling.
So
I'm in Miami.
Oh, you in Miami right now. Tay, where you at?
Yeah.
You're in DC? Okay.
Yeah.
So let me give y'all the opportunity to plug yourselves up front, because you know a lot of times we plug ourselves at the end of these types of things, and I want to make sure that everybody knows where they can find y'all work right now, because you guys are all over the place. Tay, where can we find all things Tay Jordan? Twitter, Facebook, website, whatever the case may be.
Well, you find all things Tay Jordan over at theblackjuice.com. That's the entertainment blog I have. We have something for everybody, from sports, politics, entertainment, music, the arts. We got you covered. We got a new political voice that just debuted this month as well. Again, that's theblackjuice.com. And also the Black Juice TV on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also, I got a talk show called The Nitty Gritty Show that's also produced by theblackjuice.com. You can subscribe to the Nitty Gritty Show on YouTube as well.
Damn, is that it?
Oh, if you follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Buckets of Music or at @TheBlack_Juice.
Oh, and it's a Facebook page too, right?
Oh yeah, the Facebook page. You can follow the page at the Black Juice as well. TheBlackJuice.com, that's on Facebook. I'm a pretty constant voice on Facebook, so definitely I've reached my maximum friends, but you can still follow me and follow my page, theblackjuice.com.
There we go. And Rob, what about you, man? Where are you at right now?
RealSport101.com. I'm actually doing more than just NBA now, so I'm an NBA writer for them, senior NBA writer, but now I'm doing NFL and NCAA football this year, so that'll be a good challenge for me. You can find me on the Venus vs. Mars show with Miss Shantae Jordan.
How could I not plug that?
Yeah, another show that you're doing. Another one.
Yeah, Venus vs. Mars. And then, like, I've been, like, all over people's podcasts and YouTube lately. Like, people have been seeing me and been wanting me to come on. So that's been a good look. So I'm just writing and YouTube, man.
And you got the TMZ jump off too, right?
Oh yeah, TMZ. Yeah, I haven't been on there lately because they kicked me off because they didn't kick me off. Well, they said they wanted to use me more. You're only supposed to use guests that's not a celebrity once a month, but they were bringing me on there like 2-3 times a month. Like, you guys saw it. Like,
so you. So,
so Sabrina Parr that story with Jabril Peppers, I tried to pitch it to TMZ. I sent an email, but I told them, like, I'm on there, like, a couple times a month. And they said I wasn't supposed to tell. I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to know that? I don't know.
That's
like,
weird.
Did y'all make me sign anything? Like, what the hell y'all talking about? So, I mean, it is what it is, but... all over, man. YouTube, man. I'm about to be YouTube, man.
Y'all, I think y'all live under people's skin. I think that's where y'all live at. I think that's where we can find the two of you most frequently.
Everybody on the West Coast, okay, but at least they felt something. That's all I care about. Right. That's all I care about. That's all. I want that flooded all down the timelines. I don't care if you agree, disagree. Just know that BlackJuice.com exists.
Well, I definitely know it exists, and I appreciate both of what y'all are doing out here. And there's a lot of stuff that I read from y'all that I agree with, and there's a lot that I disagree with too. But we're gonna start. I want to start with the Kyrie LeBron situation with the Cavaliers. I know that that's been something that a lot of people have had a lot of opinions on, going back to when that first broke. I guess what was it, like three Fridays ago or whenever that was. So. If you guys want to walk me through your opinion or your position, because I watched, you know, one of your shows together, and you guys had a lot to say that was kind of negative towards Kyrie. And I didn't know if that was 100% fair, the way you guys were kind of coming at him. So kind of explain, you know, either one of you guys want to start off. Rob, why don't you start off, man? Just kind of explain your position and the whole dynamic with the Cavaliers from your perspective, what you think is happening and who's the cause for it.
I understand Kyrie wants to be the man and all, but, like, dude, this ain't Kobe Shaq. Like, you're not quite Kobe in the situation. Like, you're good, but you're not that good. You know, I feel like he's just ungrateful. You know, before LeBron got there, what did Kyrie win? Absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? Didn't even make the playoffs. As soon as LeBron gets there, you guys are going to the NBA Finals. So the fact that you don't want to play with this guy who everybody else in the league said they want to play with is crazy. LeBron could be passive aggressive, you know. But I was talking to my dad about it, man, and you know what? It kind of makes sense. Like, if you're on the road with this guy, LeBron, and you think you're the man too, but then everybody, when you get off the bus, when you get off the plane, it's LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. Like, that kind of gets kind of weird, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think it would, but, and I think that's the same thing that kind of got to Kobe a little bit too. I mean, you say it's not Shaq and Kobe, but Kyrie was dropping 30 a game in the finals just like Kobe was, right? I'm not saying that Kyrie's as good as Kobe.
I kind of got a different opinion, though. I feel as though, personally, I don't have a problem with a person wanting to be the best. You should aspire to be the best. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. My issue is, I think it's grossly premature. You know, be like KD. Try to plan somebody, you know, work, you know, play a contract, then leave a free agency and do it the best way like everybody else. This man has 2 years plus 1 year player option left. Like, come on, do this. And it's for egotistical reasoning. Like, you mad because your name isn't acknowledged as much as you think it should be next to LeBron. At the end of the day, LeBron played with D-Wade. D-Wade had already had a finals in a ring on his own, but he understood that LeBron James was the best player in the game. So he was okay being in that B-roll, being a Robin. So Kyrie, I don't understand. He's smelling himself a little bit too much. Like, he's a great player, but at the end of the day, play your contract out. If you don't want to be the man, we don't know what LeBron is going to do next year. He may leave, and this be your team. So,
right.
The urgency is for it. And then it's going to another a screwed up situation. He's talking about he want to play for the
Well, let me play devil's advocate though. Let me play devil's advocate though. Why is it that Kyrie needs to play his contract out when he doesn't know what LeBron's moves are? Like, he, like, there is nobody
what
that's
that to do?
So that's, yeah, he should have signed it
because he signed before LeBron came back though.
You signed the contract, so we own you.
So my thing is, what is
we
what
own your rights, bro? Like, we can't
have to do with Kyrie.
Say it again, Tay. I couldn't hear you.
What does LeBron's future have to do with anything with Kyrie's future is going to do? Like, why can't he be his own man? He want to be his own man so much.
That he is being his own man. He is being his own man. That's why he's trying to leave now.
Go to the Knicks. Then he going to go to the Spurs.
Don't.
He's worried about what LeBron is going to do. If LeBron was to leave, wouldn't Kyrie be left with a low all-star Kevin Love and a pretty good team? So he's basically saying that even if LeBron leaves, well, this team not good enough. What team gives
enough for him to be.
Well, I agree with that. Like, as far as if he were to just stay, he would be eligible for the Supermax with the Cavs, and
right.
he would have his own team, and he would still have a running mate with Kevin Love, and that's a pretty good situation. But
exactly.
But and I agree with all that. But right. I'm looking at it like, if you're Kyrie, you know that your team is a lot better with LeBron on it, right? But if you want to play with LeBron long-term, LeBron's not doing anything to commit to you long-term either. Now, LeBron's under no obligation to do that, but it's understandable why that might be off-putting for Kyrie. Everything within this franchise is structured around LeBron, and that's the way that it should be because LeBron is one of the greatest players that ever lived. So that's the right attitude to take if you're Cleveland. But my thing is, why isn't LeBron doing more to cultivate that relationship and to ensure that he's not alienating his best running mate in Cleveland that he's ever had?
What is it that Kyrie is expecting LeBron to do? He wants his best friend to be on the team playing like Randy. He wants to be my bro like Rand, like Rich. I don't understand. Like, Kyrie at the end of the day is being an egotistical little boy. Like, this is petty. No, I don't understand. Like, dude, LeBron... dim his light a little bit more to make Kyrie's light shine a little brighter. Kyrie is, at this rate, is never going to be happy because he's never going to be the guy in Cleveland. So that is exactly what this is for. Like, people just need to understand that and stop trying to make it out like it has anything to do with LeBron. It was nothing that LeBron could have did to make Kyrie more comfortable. At the end of the day, LeBron can't shrink himself. He is LeBron James.
I think he could have made things a little bit easier. Whether it's, you know, maybe Kyrie doesn't need to have his guys fly on the team plane, but maybe LeBron doesn't need to have his guys on the team plane either. You know what I'm saying? Like, when LeBron has his guys on the team plane, but then Kyrie wants to have the same treatment and he doesn't get it, that's going to make Kyrie feel like he's less than. You know what I'm saying? What'd you say, Tay?
Too late,
Justin. I said, that sounds like a Kyrie problem. And if he's so unhappy, you know, after 2 years, he could hit free agent.
Well, what bugs me out is that I know that Rob has always been a Kobe Bryant fanatic, and I know, Tay, that you're a Russell Westbrook fanatic. And to me, the situations aren't that dissimilar. Like, I get that the circumstances around it may be a little bit, you know, like
they. It's not similar at all.
Say what?
It's not similar at all, though. Russell Westbrook. Even if he had nobody by his side, he never forced the trade. He never demanded the trade. He never cried or act like he wasn't. He played behind KD, or what some would argue behind KD, for 7-8 years. Like, never.
But he didn't always act like he was behind KD on the court, though. Let's be honest about that.
Kyrie don't act like he's behind LeBron on the court. Why do you think he dribbled a ball for 21 seconds of the shot clock and take the most shots?
But LeBron, because LeBron dictates the offense, you know what I'm saying? So I think that LeBron is always going to be in control. And again, I'm not faulting the Cavs management for that. The only thing I really think that the Cavs kind of messed up on was not bringing back David Griffin. That aside, though, I think that when LeBron is constantly signing these short-term deals, when he's constantly fanning the flames of free agency by doing stuff like going to see Lonzo Ball in person in Vegas, when he knows the entire basketball universe is speculating that he's going to end up in Vegas. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he still goes out and does it. He doesn't do anything to kind of calm the free agency flames. And as I wrote on Hip Hop Sports Report, that's his prerogative to do that. I'm not saying he's not allowed to do any of those things, but there is a consequence when you do that.
Arson, you're saying that he should make his moves and live his life contingent on what Stephen A. Smith and Brian Windhorst is. And you guys are going to write about him. Like, he don't owe you any type of.
It's about his teammates, though. It's about the perception for his teammates.
But my thing is, what does that have to? People are going to run with stories either way it goes. Like, so you might as well just live your life. People are going to write about LeBron James. Steph Curry could be dancing at a wedding. Somehow, LeBron James' name is going to be implemented in that. So I don't understand what he can do to, like, make people feel more comfortable, make people feel more better. People just need to do what's best for them. And if you want to take short-term contracts, financially, that's the best thing for him personally. Why should he do what's less best for him to make his teammates feel better? Kyrie's not going to do that, clearly.
I think that's what good leaders do. I think good leaders don't go to the media and say, we need playmakers on this team because you're trashing your own teammates in front of everybody. I think good leaders don't subtweet people constantly on social media.
His team needed playmakers, Justin.
You don't have to go say that publicly. Why did he have to go to the media and say that? You don't think he's...
People personally don't like LeBron's passive aggressiveness. They don't like how he conducts himself in the media. That sounds like a personal problem. Because at the end of the day, LeBron don't have to make most of anybody else beat or drum but his own. And that just is what it is.
So, Rob, let me ask you this. So Tay is saying that whatever LeBron does, it's his prerogative to do whatever he does. And I don't really disagree with that point. But so why is it then that when Kyrie does something to put Kyrie first, it's a problem?
So, like, it's kind of like LeBron. And this is the only thing I don't like about LeBron, because, dude, you can't keep switching teams, bro. Like, I understand you doing what's best for you and all that, like, all that jazz. But, like, if you're supposedly trying to be, like, the best player of all time, like, stop switching teams. Just stay on the team.
No.
Like, you're the leader, though. You're the leader, though.
He was asking, why are we mad at Kyrie for taking charge of his own career and him having demands? Like, LeBron want to do what's best for him.
Because Kyrie not LeBron. Kyrie ain't earned the right to do what LeBron does.
But my thing is, I disagree there. I don't have a problem with Kyrie wanting to be the man. My thing is, do it at the right time, and this ain't it. And
who are we to say that, though? He's 25 years old in the prime of his career.
Okay, you know why people are so mad at Kyrie?
Kyrie.
Go ahead, Rob.
What? No, I said people are so mad at Kyrie because they know Kyrie can't carry a team by himself. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Kyrie's shown that he can carry a team by himself. He hasn't. When has he? Every time LeBron sits out, what happened to the Cavs? They lose.
My thing is, I feel the only thing LeBron is guilty of, I think he has kind of stunted Kyrie's growth from a point guard position. I think Kyrie lacked point guard instincts and partly is because playing with LeBron hasn't helped that. But that's a Kyrie issue as well. I mean, he's a great scorer, but the kid can't pass for nothing.
I think that's a little harsh. That's a little harsh. I don't even say he can't pass for nothing.
I won't say he can't pass for nothing. He just has to score his mentality.
Look, exactly. Russell Westbrook would at least penetrate. He gonna either dish or score. Kyrie gonna penetrate, you know, 9 times out of 10. He is looking to score.
Yeah.
When do we ever pass to J.R. Smith? When do we ever drop it off to TC? Like, just.
I mean, Kyrie averaged 6 dimes a game. I mean, that's not zero. I'm not saying that's a lot, but it's not zero, Tay. Come on.
Nah, it's not a lot, but it's decent. Man.
I think it's pretty decent. And if he averaged 8 assists a game, I don't know that we're having the same conversation. You know, but let me get back to something that you guys both pointed out, or at least Rob pointed out about Kyrie's ability to carry a team. I don't think that's really a fair thing to say, because while in actuality it's true that we have not seen Kyrie carry a team in that way to this point, when you look at his career, he came in, he was rookie of the year, but he was on a terrible team, and that was in a strike shortened season, right? So he's coming off an 11 game college career, basically a point guard fresh out of high school more or less, and going to the league. Number one pick, gets rookie of the year, but still is playing on a team that has no talent around him, right? Because that wasn't even the Cavs pick that they had. The Cavs had 2 top 5 picks that year, and the other one they used on Tristan Thompson, right? So then the following year, he gets hurt, and he misses about 25% of the games on the season. I think he missed 30% of the games on the whole season in his second year. And then in the third year, when he actually is healthy and he plays the whole season, there's improvement. Now, the Cavs still didn't make the playoffs, but they were the 10th seed and they were headed in the right direction. And then they would have had Andrew Wiggins coming in his fourth season. And so, but then LeBron came back. So when I'm looking at the totality of the whole story, it's kind of like, I don't know that we know for sure that Kyrie can't carry a team, because the guys that he's most often compared to at a position, like John Wall, for instance, John Wall didn't make the playoffs his first 3 seasons either. And he didn't make.
Okay, fast forward to him playing with LeBron. Isn't he like 5-18 or 5-6?
But the whole franchise and the whole philosophy of the team and the actual roster construction is built around LeBron's strengths, not Kyrie's strengths. So when you take LeBron out the equation, there's gonna be some. You're gonna feel it. You know what I mean?
Nah. You're killing me with that. When LaMarcus Aldridge left the Blazers, Damian Lillard didn't sit and complain, "Oh, this team is built for LaMarcus Aldridge." Or when KD left Russell Westbrook didn't say, oh, this team is built for KD. No, you just go out and play and try to produce a team that's been left.
Those teams had a whole offseason to build a team around the star that was left, though. That's not a fair comparison at all. You're talking about when LeBron sits out on a Tuesday night.
That's not an excuse. That's not a viable excuse for Kyrie Irving.
Do you know what? Dame Lillard lost seven more games on the regular season tip. He went from 51 wins to 44 wins in the first year without Aldridge. And the second year without Aldridge, they went from 44 wins down to 41 wins. They were a 500 team, and they got swept in the playoffs this year.
And they got swept in the playoffs in the West, though.
But they got swept. They were the eighth seed. They barely made it, and they got swept. Don't give me credit for Damian Lillard for that. Rob, does Dame Lillard deserve credit for getting swept out of the first round of the playoffs and losing more games each year since Aldridge left? Why does Dame Lillard get credit for that?
No, that's my boy. You know, that's my boy, but no, he don't.
Would you say, Tay, I didn't hear you?
I said absolutely. If you compare him to a guy that can't take his team to the playoffs in a weaker conference at all.
I just explained that, though. You know what I mean? Like, there were circumstances around that. The Blazers were a playoff team with Aldridge and Lillard. And then Aldridge left, and then the win totals have gone down every year since then.
In the Cavaliers be a playoff team when LeBron James sits, but clearly they're not.
Because the entire team is constructed around LeBron, Tay. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not constructed to Kyrie's strengths.
So Kyrie Irving can't play with Kevin Love. That's what you're saying. He can't play with J.R. Smith.
Let me say what I'm saying. I'm saying that a team like the Cavaliers that's constructed the way that it's constructed right now, he's going to struggle leading that team to victory if you take LeBron out of the equation, because putting Kyrie out there with a bunch of shooters and no rim protectors is not ideal for him. That's not an ideal setup for him.
That sounds more of an issue for Kyrie Irving than anything.
So I find it interesting. It seems like you don't hold LeBron accountable for anything. What about him shooting 65% from the free throw line? Is that Kyrie's fault too?
You said 55%. I said you may want to check.
I said 65%. I said 65, but that was an exaggeration. He was hanging out around 70 all year though.
No, the man is human. He averaged a triple double in the finals. I mean, dang.
LeBron's a great player, man. I've never said that LeBron wasn't an amazing player, but I just, knowing that it's his job, as the leader of this franchise, it's his job to make sure that all his guys fall in line. That's his job. And he's not doing that. That's all I'm saying. So, no, we talked a little bit about John Wall, Dame Lillard, and everything like that. And like I said, Dame Lillard, I think he's nice. Don't get me wrong, but they were a playoff team with Aldridge there, and they went to the second round. Then the Aldridge's last year, they got beat 4-1 in the first round by Memphis. Aldridge leaves. The Blazers make it to the second round the year after Aldridge leaves, but only because Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got hurt. And then last year, they get swept out of the first round. So, and then like I said,
that's a little biased talking.
Is that not what happened though? They were getting killed. The Clippers were killing the Blazers in that series until Chris Paul and Blake went down.
They lost. You could say injuries played a role or whatever.
That's the two best players though. That's Paul and Griffin. Thank you, Rob. If you take Steph and you take Durant off the Warriors, they're not winning.
When Kawhi Leonard didn't play in Spurs against the Rockets, did James Harden beat the Spurs even though they didn't have Kawhi Leonard? No.
What happened to the Spurs and Warriors when Kawhi Leonard didn't play?
Either way.
Yeah, injuries matter. If LeBron's not going to play, as you pointed out, then the Cavs are going to struggle. So let's not act like injuries don't matter.
And that's sad. That's sad that the Cavaliers got two all-stars to fall back on, and they still play lottery basketball.
I think that's a reflection of how the team is structured for LeBron James. But let me ask you this though.
Right,
say it again.
Anybody else but a LeBron James team. When KD went down and Russell Westbrook had to carry them, nobody was saying, oh, well, you know, the team is built around KD.
But that's because LeBron is a lot better than Kevin Durant, and LeBron has such a grasp of the game that everything is going to be structured around him. That's just how LeBron rolls.
I said, and that's because Russell Westbrook is a lot better than a player like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving has yet to show that he can be the guy that can take a team to success. Like, he just has not shown that. And every other excuse is just like an excuse.
So he was supposed to win 55 games with that team that was there in 2013. Have you looked at that roster lately, Tay?
Alonzo G.
Yeah, he's supposed to be doing more and have more success than the best player in the world. That just is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that. Like I said, I think there's reasons for all those things, and you just think it's black and white. But I'm curious to know what you guys is how you would rank the top 10 point guards in the NBA based on this conversation and others. Rob, you have your 10 best point guards in the league. What would you say that looks like?
Top 10. That's hard. I got to think. I don't know about 10, but maybe 5. You got to say. So you consider Harden a point guard or shooting guard now?
Let's take Harden out the equation. Let's do all of us a favor and take him out.
So throw Harden. This is in no order. I got Chris Paul. I got
What about in order?
Dame.
What about in order?
In order, the best point guard in the league right now is probably Westbrook. And then you got Chris Paul. Then you got Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, and then Dame. I wouldn't say Steph is a better point guard than Kyrie Irving. Like, don't say Kyrie's a slouch. He's by no means a slouch, but he has yet to prove that he can carry a team by himself. Because anytime you get smacked by the Washington Wizards without LeBron, who else have they lost to, Shantae, when LeBron sat down?
Man,
they lost to a lot of teams.
I'm just thinking of a game I was at specifically on a Sunday, like last season, the season before last. And LeBron sits out last minute in the D.C. I come back to D.C. and I'm like, damn, I can stay the season. I stay for the game. And the Cavs got smashed. There's no excuse. Like, what's Kyrie's excuse? Kevin Love is playing.
I think it's fair to put some of that criticism on Kyrie, but I don't think it's fair to just slap him with the label and say, you cannot lead a team to victory if you're the lead dog. However, I will say that I personally have a stance that I don't believe any shoot first point guard can be the number one option on a championship team. I don't think that's something that's
you don't think Russell Westbrook can win a final
as the best player on the team. No, I don't.
Westbrook by itself is never winning an NBA finals ever.
Wow.
No, it's not gonna happen. And I've been a Russell Westbrook fan since UCLA.
What happened this year?
First
round exit.
In that freaking league, and he took them to the playoffs.
Well, first round exit.
I mean, when you play that with two MVPs, so what do you expect them to do?
Man, look. So this year when they have a first round exit, what's the excuse? Westbrook.
Look, anyway, you want my top
Yeah. Give me your top 5 or top 10, however many you have. I'm anxious to hear it.
I got you. So number 1, I got Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Number 2, I got CP3. Number 3, I got John Wall. Number 4, I got Kyrie Irving. Number 5, I got Stephen Curry. Number 6, I got Damian Lillard. Number 7, I got Isaiah Thomas. Number 8, I got Kemba Walker. Number 9, I got Kyle Lowry. Number 10, I'll give it to Mike Conley.
That's not a bad list at all. Not a bad list at all. And she gave me 10, Rob. I don't know, you over here hanging out with 5 guys.
Mike Conley is 10th, and he get paid all that money.
Yeah, Mike Conley is the fourth highest player in the entire league.
Mike Conley signed the richest contract in NBA history at the time that he signed it. But
Gordon Hayward is number 3.
Wow. Anyway, we're not going to dwell on that.
Gordon Hayward.
I think Gordon Hayward, he got grossly overrated throughout this entire process. I mean, he's nice. He's a nice player.
The NBA for the next 2 years, this is like the gold rush in the NBA. It's like inflation, man.
Yeah. I expect some rookies to enter in that top 10 this year. I think Lonzo Ball could possibly get like the 10th spot sometime this year.
Lonzo Ball can get the 10th spot?
Yeah.
You agree, Rob? Do you agree with that?
Probably take Laurie and Mike.
The first year? I don't know, man. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You think he could pass? He could pass Mike Conley this year. Mike Conley is no slouch. He could pass Mike Conley this year. I don't know about that.
So longevity is important to me. That plays a role in how I tend to rank guys. Like, you have to proven it over consistently over some years. I don't think I'd put any rookie unless he came in averaging 30 a game or 25 points and 12 dimes or something like that. I don't think I'm putting any rookie in the top 10, regardless of what they do. But that's just my personal opinion. So here's my list. And it's actually not too dissimilar to you guys. And so I think we kind of need to put the caveat on this whole thing that when we talk about Kyrie and Wall and Lillard and these other guys and Westbrook, we're splitting hairs, man, because we're all kind of floating around the same group of guys, and they're all kind of close to the same order. But my 10 at number one, I'll go in reverse order, as a matter of fact. So number 10, I have Kyle Lowry. And I like Lowry, but, you know, the being terrible in the playoffs year after year after year just can't go unpunished. I don't give a damn how good he is on defense. The basketball nerd community will have you believe that he's better than Kyrie Irving. That is insane. But
basketball nerd community.
Yeah, the basketball nerd. You know those guys. You know who they are. You know their podcasts and stuff. And they're fun to listen to, and they're fun to follow on Twitter, some of those guys. But some people just get too carried away with advanced metrics and they, you know, well, the advanced data says that Kyle Lowry's worth 0.2 more points per possession, 100 possessions than stop it.
Care about no
analytics.
Exactly, the analytics thing. I mean, I think analytics, there's a place for it, but I think sometimes people get too carried away. And when you start saying that Kyle Lowry is better than some of these other guys, that's when you get carried away. So at number 9, I'll put Kemba Walker. I like Kemba. Number 8, I'll put IT at number 8. And he's a great scorer, huge defensive liability, doesn't do a whole lot of playmaking, but he's a really nice player. And I would be open to moving him up higher on my list, to be honest, but I have him at number 8. Number 7, I have Mike Conley. Number 6, I have Dame Lillard. Number 5, I have Johnny Wall. Number 4, I have... Say it again?
Who's number 5?
John Wall. I'm sorry about that. John Wall I have as my 5th point guard.
Okay.
Number 4, I have Steph Curry. Number 3, I have Kyrie Irving. Number 2, I have Russell Westbrook. And number 1, I have CP3, Chris Paul.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding me.
No, I don't, actually.
you still think Chris Paul is the best?
I do.
We got the same guys on our list, but our list is heavily different in the order.
Nah, I mean,
that boy said Chris Paul the best.
Justin. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Justin,
go ahead.
Is Chris Paul better? Is Chris Paul better than Steph Curry, point guard, right now?
I think he is.
Right, you said
he's better. Shante, what you think? Steph Curry or Chris Paul?
All three of us had Chris Paul ranked ahead of Steph Curry. So if there's any Warriors fans listening to this, they're turning off the podcast right now. Let's just call that what it is. But my thing,
it's weird, man. Like, Chris Paul's a pure point guard. Steph Curry is not a pure point guard. This dude comes down.
Steph Curry is a shooter. Steph Curry is a pure basketball player.
So that this is where the point guard little argument comes into play. Like, and it's like. It's kind of flawed because these guys are not passing like first. They're shooting first. You coming down shooting a 38-footer three off a fast break for what?
And maybe that's why I have Chris Paul ranked ahead of Russell Westbrook still.
That's what I'm saying. You can't say that Curry is better than Chris Paul at point guard. I mean, now maybe a better player right now, maybe.
Well, that's debatable. You can't say he's a better point guard, but you can say he's a better player.
I can't even say it's hard, man. I mean, the 3-point shot, man, does wonders for people, man.
Wait, you have CP3 ahead of Steph, don't you?
Yeah, I got CP3 ahead of Steph Curry.
Why?
I've just been asking this question. I asked this question at the barbershop lately. You know, it was interesting people to answer.
There's only one.
Steph Curry.
Let me just say this. There's only one player out of these 10 guys. There's only one player on this list that's dominant offensively and dominant defensively consistently year in and year out, and it's Chris Paul.
Oh.
Chris Paul.
Yo, getting no slouch on defense either. Yeah.
Russell Westbrook doesn't contest jumpers on defense because he's trying to get rebounds.
You should be appreciative of a player getting down there and getting rebounds. He's the only guard in the top 20 averaging 10 double-digit rebounds.
That's an amazing stat, and I think the rebound thing is kind of weird personally because, you know, we don't really ask point guards to rebound, and so the fact that he does it, it's kind of a great thing. But I don't know if that makes him a better point guard because he goes out and gets rebounds, especially when his teammates get out of the way. They box out and get out of the way so he can get two or three a night. Like,
That's not true.
I've seen it. It's true. I've seen it. Tay, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. They do it. Now, I'm not saying, no, even if you take those away, he's still averaging like 8 boards. So I'm not saying that he's not crashing the glass, because 8 boards for a point guard is outstanding. But they still do give him another few rebounds a night. Say it again.
I said people always look for ways to throw salt into Russell Westbrook's game. That's crazy to me.
That's not salt. That's just what it is. Now, again, I don't want you to think that I'm discrediting Westbrook. I called him the second best point guard in the NBA. I said that he should win MVP. I think he deserved an MVP vote this year.
You said that his teammates out the way so he can get rebounds, which that's not true.
No, it is. I've seen it. Don't tell me it's not true when I saw it.
Have to play to run the risk of their point guard not getting the rebound.
Say it again.
I said, what big man is going to run the risk and get out the way just so his point guard can get a rebound?
The big men who play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That'd be Enes Kanter. That'd be Steven Adams. This is why none of these 7-footers average more than 7.5 boards a game themselves, because they're letting Russell Westbrook get a couple extra boards a night. But, I mean, now that's semantics. I mean, we don't need to get too bogged down with that conversation. But I would just say that Russell Westbrook is not a dominant defensive point guard. He gets a lot of steals and stuff like that, but he's not a better on-ball point guard defender than a lot of guys. You know what I mean? And I think Chris Paul is one of them. And that's because he's expending his energy doing other things. Maybe he could be if he took the time to focus more on defense, but he's got a lot on his plate. You know what I mean? So I understand that.
This season, I think trying to win with Chris Paul as your best player is not a winning recipe. So now that he's on the team with a guy that's better than him, he can be more successful.
I think Chris Paul being your best player, you can win with him being your best player, but he's not going to be, nor is he supposed to be, your leading scorer. So leading scorer and best player isn't synonymous. Blake Griffin was supposed to be the Clippers' leading scorer, but he never shows up in crunch time. He's injured half the time, and that's the biggest reason why the Clippers never win anywhere, in my opinion. It's not, you know, Chris Paul has a, say it again.
Is Chris Paul better than James Harden?
I don't know. I like Chris Paul better than James Harden. I think Chris Paul has 10 times more heart than James Harden. So, I don't know. I think it's debatable.
James Harden as far as what?
A basketball player.
No. I thought you said my point guard. No, James Harden is the better player of the two right now.
I mean, I'm not gonna jump on top of a soapbox and argue that point, because I understand what Harden is doing. He's doing tremendous things. Harden is a turnstile on defense, though. Well, I'm just saying though, like, James Harden is a complete shadow on defense. James Harden, you remember on those Looney Tunes cartoons when somebody would like run away really fast and it'd just be the cloud of smoke that was in their figure? That's what James Harden is on defense. He's just a cloud of smoke that wears number 13.
Yeah, he doesn't care at all.
If James Harden is 100 on offense and just 60 on defense, and Chris Paul is 80 on defense and 80 on offense, wouldn't you rather have James Harden 100 on offense and his 60 on defense?
Not necessarily. It depends on how the team is constructed, really. But you raise a good point. I think it's debatable who's the better player. I think they're both top 10 players, you know, in the league, arguably top 5 players in the league right now. So, but I think it's interesting, too, that Chris Paul has never played with a wing player anywhere close to James Harden in his entire career. So, you know, when he was in New Orleans, the guys that he was running with on the wing were Peja Stojakovic and Morris Peterson and Marco Bellinelli. Like, those were his wing players over there. You know what I mean?
He
didn't have J.R. Smith.
He had Rasul Butler.
Rasul Butler's a role player. He's a bench player. And the Clippers never put a small forward out there with him, ever. So, I mean, I just think it's going to be interesting to see him with a guy like Harden. I don't know how they're going to fare this year. They could go either way. But yeah, man, I still think, you know, when I think of point guard play, I guess maybe I'm a little biased in just in the sense of how I view the point guard position. I'm not crazy about my point guard jacking up 100 shots a game, which is why I think that even though going back to Kyrie for a second, I think Kyrie could be the best player on a playoff team. I don't think Kyrie could ever win the championship and be the leading number one option. I don't think he could ever win a championship doing that. But
Kyrie needs to switch to the two.
You said he has to switch to the two?
I think Kyrie is the natural two, and he's been a point guard since high school, and I think somebody needs to switch that man. He clearly don't have point guard instincts. He'd rather be, I feel like he's most effective off the ball, which I think is he needs to be appreciative to play for LeBron. Because it allows him to go ISO and do what he's best at, which is score off isolation and off the dribble.
Well, when you say off the ball, that kind of makes it sound like he's more of a catch and shoot kind of player. And Kyrie's well, so as long as we're in, with the understanding that, you know, off the ball kind of makes us like Kyrie's probably the best ball handler I've ever seen. So to say that he can't be on the ball, he can get his own bucket against anybody. He was lighting up Klay Thompson. They tell me Klay Thompson is a top five wing defender in the league, and he can't do nothing with Kyrie. He can't do nothing with Kyrie. So, but like I said, I don't think Kyrie, I don't think Westbrook, I don't think any of these guys that are, if they're the number one scoring option on their team, they can lead a team to a championship. I don't think they can do it. And I don't think it's been done really ever in the NBA. The only one that you could say is close is Isaiah Thomas, who was kind of right down the middle with the Pistons. And then you could say maybe Stephen Curry, two of the last 3 years, but he wasn't better than Durant this year. And 2 years ago, Kyrie and Kevin Love didn't play, and the Cavs still took him to 6 games, so I would throw that year out anyway. So, you know, I just think it's hard for any point guard to lead the league in shooting and in attempts and shooting 30 times a game. Allen Iverson went deep into the playoffs once in his career.
Right.
But he went to the finals, though.
And he got demolished in the finals. Like,
making it to the finals is an accomplishment, though. But, I mean...
No, it is an accomplishment. I agree.
If you get smacked, I mean, you shouldn't be holding on to making it to the finals.
KD went to the finals with Russell Westbrook as his point guard.
But KD was the best player and the leading scorer.
Right. Okay, she got smashed.
Right. Then they lost in 5 games also, even still. So.
What the fuck?
Did they not get smashed? Did they not lose in 5 games?
They got smashed this season. So what are you saying?
Okay. The point is
that they didn't win.
And you get smashed.
They didn't win.
Smashed in the finals. You don't go 6 or 7, but you get smashed in the finals. You shouldn't be hanging on to make it to the finals, right?
What are you talking about?
Listen. Let's not lose focus of this debate here. The point is that in the 70-something years that the NBA has been around, championships have been dominated by teams with dominant centers, dominant power forwards, and now dominant wing players.
We are so far from, first of all, it's not a big man's game, it ain't going back. Secondly, I think that it's a point guard league at this point, so I disagree that you can't get the spot best over the point guard as your best player. I definitely disagree with that.
I think you might be right, Tay. You might be right, but we have to see it first. I'm not going to say it until we see it, and we haven't seen it yet.
I mean, that's what the Golden State...
I wouldn't say the Warriors winning... was because of the point guard being the best player on the team. Like,
he didn't win Finals MVP either time.
Right. Did he play the best? Andre Iguodala, you know what I'm saying? How many games did Andre Iguodala win over Steph?
Iguodala came off the bench for half that series.
That's what I'm saying. And he won Finals MVP, so that says a lot about your point guard.
So, I mean...
You're not getting Finals with a garbage point guard. Period. That's brilliant.
The Miami Heat went to 4 straight Finals with a garbage point guard.
Mario. Hey, Mario not garbage, Justin.
I mean, okay, he may not be garbage, but he was never in the top 15 point guards in the league.
But Mario fit with that team. What they need Mario to do is the Heat.
Hey, y'all, guess what? It's a different league now in that short span of time.
Tay, like I said, Tay, you might be right about that, but we have not seen it yet. So until otherwise,
we've seen it the last 3 years of Golden State.
But Stephen Curry was not the best player or the leading scorer. Kevin Durant was.
Yeah, can we talk? 2 years before that, who was the best player?
Justin.
Go ahead, Rob.
I know y'all want to talk about point guards. I know y'all want to talk about point guards, but I think the people want to know, where do you think LeBron's going next year?
I don't know, man. I think that's a great question, Rob. I think that LeBron is I think that the likelihood of him leaving now, I think, is greater than it was in 2010, and he left in 2010. So given the fact that he's already left once before, he's already endured it, it can't be any worse this time around, and he already bought Cleveland a championship, I think it stands to reason that the likelihood of him leaving now is greater than it was before. But I also think it doesn't make any basketball sense for him to really leave Cleveland, and it especially doesn't make any basketball sense for him to go to the Western Conference and play with the Lakers. So
it doesn't make financial sense or basketball sense. I think he resigns and all this type of.
So I saw this article, and they mentioned a guy named Lee Jenkins. I guess he was on ESPN, and he said he does not believe that LeBron's decision will be based on LA at all. Like, I mean, like, Sam, they won't be even in the picture. Like, it might be like just surprise shit, like Oklahoma City or San Antonio, which I don't know why you would go there. Like, why?
I don't know if he would go to San Antonio. I could see him maybe going to Houston, yeah. Believe it or not.
Ain't nothing to San Antonio. Yeah, I could see him because I'm always there and I get it. You know what I'm saying? He'll be fine there. But San Antonio, there's nothing to be there.
I mean, I've been to San Antonio also. I mean, it doesn't strike you as an NBA hotbed for like super duper stars like LeBron. It's, for low key cats like Kawhi and Tim Duncan, it's great. LeBron doesn't strike me as that kind of guy, but so yeah, it doesn't. I think we're all in agreement. It doesn't make like, in spite of all of the hype around him going to the Lakers, there is not a shred of basketball evidence to suggest that it makes sense for him to go there. You know, people talk about the front office of the Cavaliers being a problem or something like that. What about the front office of the Lakers? They've been a train wreck for 5 years, and they just, you know, Jeannie Buss fires her brother, Magic Johnson comes in, and all of a sudden everything's all good. It's peaches and cream. Like, I'm not believing that necessarily. They have a bunch of young cats. We know young players don't win. Veteran players win. Right. LeBron James is going to be on the last legs of his career. And he's going to play with another player like Lonzo Ball, who needs the ball in his hands, because, I mean, Lonzo is he likes to pass the rock, but LeBron likes to pass the rock too. That's why LeBron and Kyrie actually work really well together.
It makes no sense.
And why would you go out west where there's all that competition out there when you can just continue to dominate the East? So I don't understand the logic behind him going. Why? Because he's got a movie venture and some TV shows. All of a sudden he wants to play for the Lakers. Like, I don't buy that at all. But anyway, I want to ask y'all, touch on a little bit of hip-hop. We got about 10 or 15 minutes left. What are y'all listening to right now? Because I just want to transition a little bit. We talk a lot about sports on the podcast because sports is always in our face. And hip-hop, you know, it's summertime right now, right? So the song of the summer, whatever it is, song, album of the summer. I'm curious where you guys feel that is, because you guys are out and about. You guys are moving and shaking. You're in different cities. What songs are you consistently hearing, or what type of what albums are you consistently hearing? Is it Jay-Z, or is it some young? Is it 21 Savage? You know, what is it?
I don't know. I don't listen to the radio. You know, I've been listening to a lot of Jay-Z, that's 444, and then I've been going back and listening to old Jay-Z, like, just, you know how I do it. And I got like Tidal and Apple Music on my phone. I just put it on shuffle and just ride out. So I've been listening to a lot of Jay-Z lately, and pretty much like Jay-Z and Currency, man.
Jigga and Spitta.
And I've been listening to a lot of like Prodigy lately, because Prodigy has passed, RIP. But I listened to Prodigy before he passed. I was playing like 8-10 on TV. I got that on my phone. So a lot of Prodigy, Mobb, Jay-Z. I don't really listen to none of these stuff, man. Like, not interested in hearing Travis Scott or any of these other guys.
Definitely that new Jay-Z. I listen to a lot of Big Sean.
Big Sean.
Playboy Cardi, you said?
Yeah, I hear him a lot.
Hey, Shantae, people sleep on Big Sean, man.
Yeah, man, it's so annoying. I hate that.
I'm Big Sean, I'm listening to Big Sean, too, Justin. I left him out, my bad.
So,
I'm Big Sean today.
So,
yeah, him and Joey Badass, I think, have been slept on. I've been listening to a lot of Joey as well. But also, Big Miss has just dropped a new one. It's pretty dope.
Never heard of him. I mean, I heard of him.
He's nice.
I've heard some mixed reviews about the new Big Mensa project.
I've seen the name everywhere, but if I heard his voice right now, I wouldn't know who he is.
I saw him go at DJ Academics on
yeah, I saw that too.
That was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, Vince Staples.
You said Vince Staples too?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this about Big Sean. Let me jump back to him, because supposedly he has this beef with Kendrick and they both kind of, you know, throwing shots, but they're not really being direct. I mean, do y'all think Sean can hang with Kendrick, or do y'all think Sean's better than Kendrick?
Absolutely. I think he's going to have to blatantly go at Kendrick to get his respect, because I think a lot of Kendrick and J. Cole fans see it as like a two-man race, Kendrick and J. Cole. That's me. If you're going to put Drake, if you're going to put Kendrick, and you're going to put J. Cole as like the top three, Big Sean deserves his consideration. He's the underdog, so he's definitely going to have to. I don't think it's anything personal. I think it's all respect. But it's clear as day, Big Sean is not mentioned where he should be mentioned. So I think he's going to have to go at him direct and not these subliminal shots.
Kendrick Lamar is hype.
Kendrick is nice.
You think Kendrick is overrated, right?
Yes.
Why?
He is, man.
You told me that he could be. You told me he could be the greatest of all time several years ago. You still don't feel that way?
Yeah, but I don't feel like that no more. I just feel like he's good, but he's not like. People are thirsty for the next Jay-Z and Nas, bro. Like, people are thirsty for that. So like, they put Kendrick up there. Like, but I'm like, is Kendrick really up there? Yeah, you feel what I'm saying? Like, is Kendrick really up there to be considered with these guys? Like, no, he's not. I haven't heard anything. I don't know.
Go ahead, Tay. What were you going to say?
Rob, I think you may not listen to him. I think he definitely has a case. One guy I think is overrated, though, is definitely Chance the Rapper. I don't see what all the hype is. I respect his independence.
Yeah, he's trash.
So I'm gonna agree with Shantae on that one. I never really understood, and I'm in Illinois right now, and I never really understood the Chance hype. And I'm not saying that Chance isn't nice. I think he's probably a better artist than he is a rapper, if that makes sense. I personally get annoyed that every time I see him, he's usually singing and not rapping, and his name is Chance the Rapper. That's just my own personal hang-up. I don't know what it is. They call him Chance the Rapper, and every time I see this dude, he's singing with a choir behind him, and it's like, where's the rapping at? Like, maybe that's just me.
Justin.
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper, trash.
So Chance is trash.
Completely trash.
And who did you say? You said Kendrick is overrated, but it's all Jigga and Currency.
Trash, though, but it's
Currency is trash.
Stop, say you tripping. Are you insane?
I've heard y'all debate this online before.
That's the list of the Currency.
I love Currency.
Put me to sleep with Young Roddy and Currency.
She thinks Young Roddy is white.
So let me just say this. I understand where Tay is coming from when she says Currency and Roddy are going to put her to sleep. Because they're definitely... They're not punchline rappers. That's not their forte. Just because you're not a punchline rapper doesn't mean you can't rap, though.
You want to get the punchlines? Go listen to Lloyd Banks, Shantae. Go listen to Fabulous.
I listen to that.
You want to hear some punchlines? Go listen to
here's why I'm going to take a little bit of an issue with you, Tay, on this one, though. I understand what you're saying when you talk about Currency and Roddy making you sleepy or whatever. Felt like you just took a Benadryl and you're about to nod off, right?
Right.
But you can't say that and then say that J. Cole is hot at the same time.
J. Cole is a substance. Currency is Jeezy has no substance. It's all cap rap. If I want to listen to cap rap, I'll listen to my hometown rappers like Chip the Ripper or something.
Currency's better than Chip, but you know, he's better than King Chip. But I understand what you're saying, though. I understand, and J. Cole does have substance there, but J. Cole's last record,
J. Cole got bars.
Sometimes
he do got bars,
but I don't play his. I don't play his record anymore. The one that came out.
Me neither.
I agree. His last album was pretty garbage.
That will never get played again in my car. except for the one song, that Neighbors song. The Neighbors song.
Neighbors is all right. And I like the intro. I like the intro
people
too.
People so thirsty for good music, man. People so thirsty, but the reality of the situation is these artists these days do not have timeless music.
That's not always the case.
You're not about to be listening to the Kendrick Damn album 10 years from now.
No, I promise you.
I think Kendrick's Damn album is great.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to it today. I'm gonna give it a chance. I got it on my phone. I just have to listen to it.
The Pimple Butterfly is definitely timeless.
Yeah, the Pimple Butterfly. The first album was nice.
So how would you rank Kendrick's three albums? I mean, I know he has more than three albums, but just looking at those three, how would you rank those three?
For me,
I have to listen to Damn. I gotta listen to Damn first.
Okay, what about you, Tay?
For me, I would go to Temple Butterfly. Are we ranking Section 82? Okay, let me give my list. I would go to Temple Butterfly, Section 80, Mad Kid, and then Damn.
Is Section 80 considered an album or a mixtape?
I think it was an album, but it wasn't a major release.
But it was
still technically an album. I would personally put Good Kid, Mad City, and Damn ahead of To Pimp a Butterfly, and then
really?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I like To Pimp a Butterfly, but it was really a unique record. But I don't know, man. I just feel like the other ones have more replay value for me anyway.
What does that mean? It means nothing. You just made up a damn title. It means nothing.
It's 444.
Did Jay-Z ever actually explain what 444 means?
No, he didn't.
And
he won't.
Hey,
y'all hear about that group? That group 444, they call their album Jay-Z?
No, I did not hear about that.
It's a white group called 444. They named their album Jay-Z.
Interesting. I don't blame him for doing it. We know that Jigga has and B have this thing with the number 4. But I don't think he ever actually came out and explained why that was the title or what that means, or maybe I just missed it.
I don't think so either. I know, but he do got some good commentary and stuff on title. Did you guys see the 444's footnotes on title?
I did. I like those a lot. You'll notice CP3 was involved and Russell Westbrook was not. But
what?
I'm kidding. I'm just saying though. But no, I like the footnotes though. I've seen the footnotes for the OJ song and the 444. I have not seen the Kill Jay-Z footnotes, and I think he has one for Adness coming as well, and I haven't seen that one.
You guys got to see the video though for Moonlight. That's pretty dope. They do like their own type of rendition.
Yeah, I think I saw that, and he had a bunch of comedians on there, right? Like,
yeah, he got Ray in there. He got the guy from what's the movie with
from Get Out. He had
the guy from Atlanta,
and on Get Out, he had Lil Rel. He had Jerrod Carmichael. Which, for the record, I'm devastated that the Carmichael show got canceled. I'm hurt by that.
I heard about it, but it got canceled. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it got canceled. It's a funny show, Rob. I think you would like it actually because it's really kind of edgy humor. Like they really kind of take a stab at some stuff that you would not see on a conventional sitcom on a major network like that. But I don't know. Gerard had a falling out. It seems like, and he walked away from the show, and then the show just kind of dissolved in the thin air. So, yeah, I'm pretty bummed about that. But I think that was a cool video concept. I have to see the actual video yet. I have yet to see it. I think I heard it's going to be released more widely, I think, within the next few days from what I understand. But anyways, but we're about to cut out here right quick. And I'm thinking about an hour and five minutes in roughly. Did you guys have any football predictions that you want to throw our way for the upcoming season real quick?
We should do a whole other show on that, Justin.
So Shantae, you're boycotting based on cap. Is that what it is?
Yeah, man.
Shantae, you tripping.
I'm not watching. I have no interest in watching and supporting anything that is in blackballing somebody that stood up for what was right.
I'll be watching.
So I already have a column already out on Hip Hop Sports Report about where I stand on the whole Colin Kaepernick situation. Basically, I think that he being the guy that he is, he knew what he was getting himself into when he decided to take on this cause. Like, I think he knew that he was going to have a hard time finding a job. There's other factors involved, but I think we all knew that this blackballing was going to happen. And I definitely think it is a blackballing that's taking effect. I will say, though, that the boycotting thing is interesting, and it seems to be gaining a little bit of momentum. Even though I agree with the sentiment behind it, is that he should have a job in the NFL, and I agree with that. I don't think that it's any single team's obligation to go out and sign him, though. That's the only point where I'm kind of like stuck on the boycotting thing. You know what I mean?
But it's not an obligation to the team of teams that had every
one. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said they show an obligation to the team that actually can use the services but opted not to do so.
Yeah, and I agree. There are some teams that could use the services and have opted not to do so. So for those teams, it seems kind of strange. But and I don't know, have we ever heard from Kaepernick whether or not he's only looking for a starting job or if he would take on a backup role? Have we heard that?
Well, they were saying that he was only everything.
Okay. We was having a little hard time hearing you there, but
yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, but we're gonna wrap this podcast up. Do you have a final thought, Rob?
Oh man, we gotta do this again about football because I got a lot to say about football. So we should do another one. But yeah, you can catch me Instagram at rparks85. Facebook with me, Rob Parks Jr. Twitter, I'm putting out articles on realsport101.com. I don't know if Justin can provide that link in the description of the podcast, whatever. We can work that out. But just working, man. Just putting in work and traveling. That's my life these days. So that's all I'm doing, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And Tay, of course, you're over there at theblackjuice.com and with your many YouTube ventures and social media posts. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can actually, me and Rob got a show together. We talking about the clash between the Venus versus Mars shows. That's on the Black Juice TV on YouTube. And also, you can check out some dope articles, sports, music, politics at the Black Juice.
No doubt. And I've seen some of Venus and Mars, like I said earlier, and I think both of y'all be tripping. But that's another story. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Tay Jordan. Thank you, Rob Parks. Thank you all for listening, man. Again, 5-year anniversary of Hip Hop Sports Report, y'all. Whoa. I appreciate each and every one of you who download, listen, share, like, comment, hate, trash, or columns, whatever. I appreciate all y'all, man. We out of here. Peace.